Please join me in the call to worship. The power of dreams lies in waking up. For when we close our eyes, we can see a better world. When we close our eyes, we can dream a better dream. But when we open our eyes, we begin the work of faith. The power of worship is the same. When we enter this space, we can see a better world. When we enter this space, we dream a better dream. But when we leave this space, we begin the work of faith. So come in, dream your dream, find hope here. For when we leave, we begin the work of faith. Let it be so.
Last week, we leave the first candle of Advent of wreath, the candle of hope. As we relight it today, we are again reminded that hope is the very thing that keeps a dream afloat. The light of the first candle is an invitation to keep awake, to be Advent people filled with the hope we know in Christ Jesus. I invite you now to stand as you are able to sing hymn number 9, Come, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Hymn number 13, Prepare the Way. May be seated. Let us join now in our prayer of confession as printed in the bulletin. Holy God, we wish that peace was something we could buy. We wish that peace could be ordered in a subscription service, found on a map, downloaded in an app, or voted for in a ballot. We wish that peace was as easy as a one-time choice when we are feeling our best. However, peace involves every day, over and over, whether or not we are feeling our best. So today we confess, as a community of faith, that we need your help in this Advent season. Prepare the way for greater peace and teach us how to be a part of it. Amen. Hear us now, O God, as we silently confess our sins. Amen. May God forgive you. May God's guiding hand surround you. May you know comfort. May you know peace. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
It's the second week of Advent, and so now we light the second candle of the Advent wreath, the candle of peace. This candle reminds us that there is another way. May the light of this second candle be an invitation to prepare the way for the greater peace we know in Christ Jesus. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us now pass the peace of Christ to those worshiping nearby.
Good morning and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church of San Leandro on this second Sunday of Advent. I am Lou Pennebaker, and it is my pleasure to welcome you this morning. I want to thank both Cora and Linda for helping us out with our candle lightings. My apologies to Cora. I gave you the wrong hymn. My fault. I'm sorry. And Linda filled in this morning for Julie Larson, who is homesick. So thank you both. There are a lot of things going on today. Immediately following worship, we invite everybody to join us through these doors for our coffee fellowship. And today, we are also having an Advent celebration. We will be having cocos and carols. So we invite you to come get a cup of coffee, tea, juice, or hot chocolate, and find a seat at the tables where you will see there are some quizzes that you may work on collaboratively together. There's a piece of paper with a quiz on each side, so work together to fill those out, and then after everybody gets settled, we will have a traditional carol sing and reveal the answers to the quizzes for a little bit of fun as we look forward to preparing for Christmas. Also in Fellowship Hall, we have manna bags and equal exchange coffee, tea, and chocolate will be available this morning for you to purchase. And there are still some Advent devotionals. If you haven't picked one of those up, they can be found in Fellowship Hall as well to take home and use as a daily devotional throughout the Advent season. This week, we have a very special Young at Heart luncheon on Thursday. It will be their Christmas luncheon with a wonderful meal prepared by Bob Kraut and his team. And the program will be the San Leandro High School Notables, which is their performing choir that is always a wonderful time. So we invite you to come for that. If you plan to be here, please sign up so we know how many people to prepare for. The following week, Thursday, December 19th, Heart to Heart will meet. So all of you women are invited to join us for a special Heart of Christmas celebration. We ask those who are able to please bring with you an appetizer to share and come prepared to share a Christmas memory or a Christmas tradition with those that will be around your table. Next Sunday, our Advent celebration will be cookies and cider. We invite everybody to bring a batch of homemade cookies or treats, and we will have an all-church cookie exchange. We will provide for you to-go containers that you can fill with a variety of cookies. We will also have special tags that you can add to those containers. And then you can take your box of cookies, take them home and enjoy them yourself, or better yet, give them to a friend, a neighbor, or a coworker, and invite them to join us here on Christmas Eve to celebrate the birth of Christ. And the special tags have all of the information about our Christmas Eve worship service. So it's a wonderful way to invite people to be a part of our faith family for that celebration on Christmas Eve. Now we will continue in worship as Sherry Plunkett comes forward for our scripture reading.
Let us pray. God of peace, we must admit there are a million things on our minds. We'd like to be as focused as John the Baptist, preparing the way, gathering the crowd, spreading the word of your arrival. Maybe then we'd know peace. However, more often than not, we are a swirling compilation of grocery lists, text messages, emails, and over-referenced to-do lists. So today, we ask for your help in preparing the way. Could you start with our ears and then maybe move to our hearts? We'd like to hear you more clearly. Maybe then we'll know peace. Gratefully, we pray. Amen. Today, I will be reading Isaiah 40, 1 through 11 from the Common English Bible. The passage can be found on page 1119 in the Pew Bible. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak compassionately to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her compulsory service has ended, that her penalty has been paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. A voice is crying out, clear the way in the desert. Make a level highway in the wilderness for our God. Every valley will be raised up, and every mountain and hill will be flattened. Uneven ground will become level, and rough terrain a valley plain, and the Lord's glory will appear. And all humanity will see it together. The Lord's mouth has commanded it. A voice was saying, call out. And another said, what shall I call out? All flesh is grass. All its loyalty is like the flowers of the field. The grass dries up and the flower withers when the Lord's breath blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass dries up and the flower withers, but our God's word will exist forever. Go up on the high mountain, messenger Zion. Raise your voice and shouts, messenger Jerusalem. Raise it. Don't be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Here is the Lord God coming with strength, with a triumphant arm, bringing his reward with him and his payment before him. Like a shepherd, God will tend the flock. He will gather lambs in his arms and lift them onto his lap. He will gently guide the nursing ewes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Christians sing to hear the news the angels bring. On Christmas night, all Christians sing to hear the news the angels bring. News of our joy and joy to men. Of all to see a newborn king. Sad, since our Redeemer made us glad, grace, then life and health conceal his face. When sin departs before his grace, then life and health conceal his place. Angels and men with joy may sing.
Our second scripture today, well, first of all, let me explain. You might have noticed this. Some of you have heard, I fell this week and I broke my wrist. Yeah, bummer. And I'm left-handed and it's my left wrist, so that's an extra dose of fun. The good news is that it is repairable and I've got some surgery scheduled for Friday to have some hardware installed. So looking forward to continuing that. And so thank you all who've been helping out, because there are certain things I just can't do. I appreciate it, especially Lou. Thank you. So now let's move on to our scripture lesson, which is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. I'll say a note. In the lectionary reading of this year, we actually read this scripture three different times for three different reasons. So, hear now in this Advent season the Word of God. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our theme in this series called Those Who Dream is, today our emphasis is on preparing the way, and our word is peace. Last week, as was noted earlier, we took out a couple of texts that were filled with messages of hope in the middle of cataclysmic times. Hope out of a time when things were bad. And so today we will be looking at more texts that give opportunities for the people of God like us to dream of better times and better ways to live. These dreams include constructing new ways that lead to new life. In this time that feels a little uncertain, I think we can all use a look at dreams and those who dreamed in the Bible. Now, in the Bible, such dreams are often tied to spiritual journeys. It was an area, the Palestinian Peninsula is an area with mountains and hills, as well as broad agricultural valleys that sustain the populations. And we know of a lot of different journeys. We have the journey of Abraham, who comes all the way from Ur up into the land of Judah. We know of the Israelite slaves who left Egypt, the Hebrew slaves who left Egypt and made their way on a very long journey. And then there are journeys of other pilgrims along the way and prophets who declare the dreams that God has for the world. The passage that Sherry read for us today from Isaiah is full of a dream and promise, one that the people have been waiting for a long time. If one counts the time between when the chapter 39, immediately preceding this section, was written, and Isaiah 40, it is over 150 years. It's a long time. And obviously, it's a different author who is adopting the persona and the message of Isaiah. He belongs to a very different generation. So let's take a look at what chapter 39 had in it. In it, King Hezekiah is visited with a message, but he ends up being in denial about the future. Here's the word of the Lord to him. He is told, "The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your predecessors have stored up until today will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord, and some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." And proving that denial is not just a river in Egypt, here's Hezekiah's response. He says, "The word of the Lord you have spoken is good." For he thought, "There will be peace and security in my lifetime." History gave a different judgment, did it not? Hezekiah did not find the peace and security that he thought he would. And in the end, generations later, the palace was wrecked, and the descendants of the king did become eunuchs in the palace of Babylon. And now, 50 years after that destruction, a new word of hope comes in the form of the voice and of the prophet Isaiah. A completely different tone to those who now have been in exile for over 50 years in Babylon. "Comfort, comfort ye my people. Comfort you my people." These are not words of judgment. These are words of consolation. They are words of compassion. They are words that give to a people who've been tried and convicted, who have suffered and paid penalties. And these are words, then, that are now offering new life. That period is remembered by those who were at the time of Jesus because it was the beginning of the restoration of the temple. And now, and down into Jesus' day, then, there is a different kind of peace that has been created. The peace in Jesus' time was called the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. And it was created by violence and force of power. People were at peace because Rome had their thumb on all of the different peoples. This was not the way of God's peace. This is not the peace that is projected in Isaiah. This is not the peace that Jesus will preach. And so in the middle of this time of exterior peace, Jesus comes to offer something else. Now, in our text today, we have John the Baptist. And tradition says that John the Baptist was born in Ankarim, a village about 2.5 miles from downtown Jerusalem. Both of his parents were of the tribes of the priests, and it would have been the most natural thing in the world for John to have followed the path to the priesthood and to have stayed in the center of power in Jerusalem, used that power for the cause of peace. And instead, he emerges from the wilderness, much like Elijah, whom Mark invites us to be reminded of. He dresses strangely. He wears coats of camel hair. He's probably very thin even by first century standard, because it's noted he mostly eats honey and locusts. John has abandoned the life, the easier life he might have had as a priest in the temple, for a life of reaching out to those on the margins and the poor. So there he is out in the wilderness preaching about repentance, and he's asking the people to change their ways, inviting them to repent and to start over with God and with each other. And he implores them to get ready for the one who is coming. I don't know about how you picture John the Baptist. I have this image of him. He's probably got really long hair. His hair is probably wild. He's got this belt cinched tightly. And there's a temptation to think of John as like a shouting street preacher, yelling at people, telling them how much they need to change. But that's actually not what Mark describes. Mark quotes from the Bible, he quotes that exact passage from Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, speak tenderly to her. And so what if all the people who are going out to see John in the wilderness, not for a scolding, but for comfort? What if John is tenderly inviting them to imagine themselves living a different life? Inviting them to be done with all the things that bind them to anger and resentment. With kindness and love, maybe John is inviting them to face the truth about themselves and to prepare for change. Now, as he quotes from Isaiah, Mark inserts a new verb, where the older text described preparing a path. Mark speaks in the Greek of constructing a new way. And so what is being created is not just a path, it's a new way of life, counter to that Pax Romana that is about power and authority. A new way of life is being built into the world. And so John calls for repentance, for beginning again. And that repentance requires a shift in imagination and ability to dream a new dream, to see a new pattern, and the energy to construct that new way. So here, at the very beginning of Mark's gospel, one in which he will use the word immediately at least 40 times, he shows up at the beginning of the good news to tenderly invite us to begin again, to prepare for God's appearance as much as we can. Because the Holy One always breaks into the world in ways that surprise us. Now, there's a danger that we may reject this invitation, that we may close our lives off from his invitation, cutting away risks that might lead to joy, refusing to believe that God could care enough to comfort us and others in distress. In fact, we might hear, another way to look at this is to hear the call of John as a way of straightening the path for an honored guest. For isn't preparing a way for royalty what Jesus, who is Jesus? It's being sure that those who are cold are being given a means to be warm, making a way for those who are hungry to be fed, for those who are in prison to be visited so they know they are not alone. So we are called to prepare our way in our own hearts. But isn't it also that we would want Jesus to find a way into and be at home in this world? And might preparing in one way also help us to do so in the other way? I wonder if acting might also lead us to contemplative insight, to understanding what it means to prepare the way. And by contemplating that, we also might be invited to different action. Might our making the world ready help us to make ourselves ready? And might our making ourselves ready lead to ourselves making the world ready as well? And so I wonder, what comes first for you? Is it action or contemplation? In other words, how do you best prepare the way? That'll vary. Do you start in your own heart and your mind, or do you start by acting in the world? And what are the things that need to be removed in each of us, in our lives, in our community, in our congregation, in order to prepare the way? And how does that doing so lead to greater health, safety, and shelter for those who need it, yourself included? There's a story told about Ruth and Billy Graham. They lived in the mountains of western North Carolina near a place called Montreat, which is a very well-known Presbyterian conference center. They lived not far from there. And one day they encountered several miles of road construction, the story goes, and there was one-way traffic. There were detours. It was frustrating. Finally, they came to the end and they saw a road sign. And Ruth turned to her husband, the story goes, and said, "Those words on that road sign, that's what I'd like to have printed on my tombstone." And it said, "End of construction. Thanks for your patience." So, friends, until the end of our days, we are always under construction, right? And so we don't lose heart. We begin again. We prepare. We find our way. We may hit a detour. We have to go again. But we're always dreaming God's dream so that imagination and compassion and God's creative love can find a way into our life and into the life of this world. Thanks be to God. So I've offered you some paths to think about this week, about ways in which you might be able to think about preparing the way. And so I invite you to think about what you might add to this. What examples help bring this gospel life into your life? Let it be so. Amen. And so, friends, I invite you, as you wish, to stand as we sing together number 53, "What Child Is This?"
Thank you.
You may be seated. Throughout the Advent season, we prepare the way of the Lord as we make a way for God to come into our lives. In the midst of our preparations, we bring gifts. These gifts are not wrapped in pretty paper or tied up in bows or placed under a tree. No, these gifts are placed in the box in the narthex, electronically transferred or mailed to the church. We bring these gifts to be part of creating a more beautiful and more peaceful world through the ministry of this church and the daily witness of our lives as God continues to shape us each day into people of goodness and peace. Holy One, this Advent season, we wait in peace. We give in peace, a peace deeper than our anxiety and fear, a peace growing from our trust in your loving power. Receive these offerings and use them to bring your peace to our world. Amen.
I invite you to join me in prayer. Heavenly One, you are the God who gives peace. This second week of Advent causes us to remember that because of Jesus, we can experience a Christmas free from toil and turmoil and chaos. Regardless of our circumstances or our situations, you offer us peace that passes understanding. O Prince of Peace, whose advent we seek in our lives, come this day and show us how to beat our swords into plowshares, tools of life instead of instruments of fear. May your love strip us naked of all weapons and strategies of conquest, which are not the tools of lovers, wise men, wise ones, and God's children. Let us not lust for power, but rather strive for insight to be guided on the way of peace. Let us not yearn for a victory that requires a sister's sorrow or a brother's shamefaced feet. With tears, black suits and dresses, and tolling funeral bells, let us attend life's victory parties that are won at such a cost. Let us be Advent adventurers and peacemakers, hammering swords into shovels, filling holes and leveling peaks. Let us be disarmed and vulnerable, for only through such open hands and hearts can Emmanuel come. And let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, I invite you, as you wish, to stand for our closing hymn.
Thank you.
go with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the Spirit which is with us daily. May God's grace and peace and love and hope fill your lives as you go out from this place. Amen.